Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Sports Radio 90.9 The Game, Sunday morning with John Fricke. I wish we had smileys and jump up and down and joy to talk about, but right now we don't so much. Atlanta United lost yesterday to Chattanooga. Did you see that? I don't put any stock into that. Though I did like the fact that the new coach said, yeah, whatever they were doing, that's not what we're going to do. It was boring to me. They're passing the ball back. Yeah, that's not what we do. I don't want to back pass guy. Apparently they were still, you know, taking the ball in possession and dropping it back. And he's like, yeah, we're not going to do that so much. He's thinking like, yeah, we're going forward with the ball. We're going to have to, regardless, this will be a big week coming up for them with the announcement of Miggy coming back. And I think Emmanuel Latte-Lath is a done deal, so I think they got two big announcements coming, and maybe this week or in the next 10 days. Will the Hawks have a big announcement? I don't know. 404-726-0929. I think they're going to run cover and say, yeah, Jalen's in. Well, they won't say anything, but they'll just kind of like hint that, again, that's one of the frustrating things about the Hawks. They don't talk to us enough. Also making news coming up tomorrow. Jeff Ulbrich will have his introductory news conference right at about 24 hours from now, just after 10 o'clock tomorrow, out at Flowery Branch, introduced as the new defensive coordinator of the Atlanta Falcons. If you could ask him any question, what would you ask him? I know some of the questions that he'll be asked. How does it feel to be back? How does it feel to be with Raheem? What do you learn from the Jets that you're going to bring over? What do you make of the team's air? And the most important thing is, you know, what is your philosophy on defense compared to what this team tried to do last year? And one of the things he's doing is he brought in a guy to actually be the defensive passing game coordinator, the defensive passing game coordinator that the Falcons did not have last year. For a team that's confused in the back end, according to its head coach, they didn't have a defensive passing game. Okay. 404-726-0929. So that changed. Donald is on the waveboard.com hotline. He wants to jump into this. Hey, Donald. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What you got?
Yeah, I was calling a reference to the Hawks. Maybe if you just bring up the Skyhawks and let them play.
Well, at this point, that's kind of what I was saying. Maybe you just do.
Yeah,
Keaton.
Man.
What was the most exciting moment of the last month here? Keaton Wallace and Plowden, right?
You got that right. You're watching a whole bunch of overpriced, overpaid crybabies. You can't get the job done. That's really the bottom line.
I don't know if they're crybabies. I mean, they don't seem to be that. But
there's a whole bunch of them.
I don't think they're over. And sadly, they're not overpriced. It's cost to do business in the NBA. Matter of fact, I wish they were overpriced, because I think one of the issues is that, Donald, is that this team has steadfastly refused to move into the luxury tax. You know, where other teams don't even think twice about it.
Yeah, well, you know, it's like this: the more ambitious you are in life, the harder you perform. When you've got it already made, you really don't seem to do much except sit back and rest on your laurels.
There aren't
any
laurels
to rest
on.
Of our society.
What laurels are there to rest on?
The check they get every week.
Yeah.
Paying a guy $500,000 a game to play basketball? Come on.
Well, but that's you drop that part of it, because that's just the going rate. I mean, don't worry about that. There's nobody
on this
team.
The going rate doesn't mean you have to pay that to find somebody and play the game. As far as professional sports in general, you got to determine who the refs are betting on to determine who's going to win the game, and that's really hard to do.
Right.
They should make all referees in professional sports have to take lie detector tests after every game to see which one they bet on.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
go back to the Falcons game against the Chiefs in the end zone. Game's on the line. Kyle Pitts gets tackled before the ball gets there. And no
yeah,
flags.
No, I know.
I wonder
trust
who they're betting on that game.
I know. I
okay,
I
come on now. Let's be real about it.
Yeah. We went from here to there.
All controlled by the referees.
They're all controlled
by the referees, except for tennis, which is controlled by a computer. You can't cheat it.
Well, one
that's
of the reasons
the
they're
not.
I guess I can't talk here. Hey, thanks, Donald. Appreciate the phone call. Wait, I mean, look, I'm all for referee accountability, too. I didn't expect the call to go that route. But this is why, you know, some people, and Grant McCauley and I have talked about, you know, how accurate is the only problem I have with this, with the box in baseball is if you stop and think about it, you're not dead on. You're not, you know, it's not like the box is taken from eye level on the mound straight into the to the batter's box. It's taken, the camera is tilted, right? I mean, it's off to the right, correct? It's off to an angle. So I wonder how accurate the box is. I mean, because it's not dead behind the pitcher, obviously not, or you'd be looking at the back of the pitcher, throwing, and you wouldn't be able to see the ball. So you have to, right? You set the camera off, right, Noel? You set the camera off to the side a little bit. You take it and move it, right? Because you have to shoot into the angle so you can see the pitch go into the, okay. So how, if you could convince me that the box was 100% accurate and that they could come up with the technology where maybe it's not the box you see on TV, but they have some kind of a computer grid system that beeps or something like the, you know, Cyclops, you know, beep, beep, you know, it's in. I mean, if you could convince me that the box, I'd be all for the robo. I'm pretty much for it anyway, but if you'd have to, my only concern is that it's not exactly right, that it's off by just a few degrees here or there because of the angle of the camera. That's my only concern. But other than that, I'm pretty good with sometimes the camera's a little bit more overhead, depends on the ballpark. Sometimes the camera's a little bit off to the right of the pitcher. And isn't it interesting, have you ever noticed that in baseball where the camera's a little offset, it's always to the right of the pitcher? It's never to the left of the pitcher? Think about how awkward it would be if the camera offset was to the other side. It would look strange, wouldn't it? To the first base side, not to the third, because it's always offset to the third base side. I don't know who decided that, what television executive did. Yeah, officiating. I mean, we all know that officiating has, you know, been in question. We've talked about, you know, full-time referees and more accountability and referees having to, you know, meet with the media and be available to the media to talk about their calls. And, yeah, no, that's something that, especially nowadays in this era of legalized sports gambling and the Tim Donaghy thing with, you know, the referee throwing, you know, when he went to prison, I mean, for the NBA. So, yeah, the one thing that sports cannot abide, this is why, when all leagues get together, what is the one thing that concerns them the most, more than anything else? Is it drugs? No. Is it steroids? No. Is it, you know, sadly, is it, you know, criminality, you know, of any kind? You know, and there's a lot of criminality because sports athletes and coaches and everybody else associated with sports are human beings, and some of them do bad things. That doesn't even concern them. No, what concerns them the most, number one topic, has always been gambling. Because even though they have to embrace it in this day and age because of the nature of sports gambling, the idea that you would ever rig a Super Bowl, that it would ever come out, that a Super Bowl, that a referee was on the take for a Super Bowl and the outcome of the Super Bowl was in question, would destroy the NFL. It would be like, it would be devastating. Devastating. Which is why college football, the unspoken thing when we talk about everything that's going on and everybody's worried and looking over here at NILs and portals and you know, merging and all the rules that have to take place, one of the unspoken things is the quality of the officiating because it's done by separate leagues. And there's, you know, different accountability levels between ACC officials and SEC officials and Big 12 officials. Another reason they need to get to Super Conference, and somebody has to head one group of officials and be accountable for one group of officials. And not different versions of different leagues and different ways to do things, but one specific group. And then you call from all those officials that are currently there into the best of the best, right, that you can. And try and get a hold of that. So, I mean, Donald's not wrong. wasn't a conversation I was expecting this morning, but he's not wrong. All right, so a lot to get into, 404-726-0929 here. As we work our way through a Sunday morning, let's go to Abel. He's on with John. Hey, Abel, welcome to the show.
Yeah, hey, John. First off, I want to get off the last caller's lawn. That guy seems like a grumpy old man. Hey, the question I have with the Hawks is, you know, it seems like this team's just not playing with any urgency, and nobody seems to be making a big stink about that when it comes to the coaching side of the game. And that's really, you know, where urgency usually comes from, is that sort of wellspring of the guy, you know, in the suit. And nobody seems to be really questioning the coaching, at least not out loud. Just seems like we're kind of – everyone's looking at the players kind of shrugging our shoulders going, why aren't these guys getting it on? And I just don't understand why no one's kind of taking a longer look at the coaching staff and saying, what are we doing here, guys?
Yeah, no, I'm with you, Abel. I mean, one of my criticisms of – I'm a Trey fan. I admit I'm on Team Trey. But one of my criticisms is that – you know, when everything's are going bad, it's just another day, another opportunity. That's it. It's a post on X. I would love – I don't see any – this is why I said that they lack veteran leadership. They need somebody on that bench because Coach Snyder is just not a screamer. They need somebody on that bench to whip them in shape. They need a general because Trey's not a general. You know, he's just – that's not in his nature. You don't see Trey grabbing guys by the collar and screaming at them. Not that – sometimes that's warranted, Abel. And, you know, get everybody's attention, you know, and they don't do that. And it's disappointing.
When was the last time we had that guy, though?
Well, I think Elk Brand did that.
When was the last time we think we had that guy, Elton?
I think Elk Brand did it. I mean, I'll tell you, I think Al Horford.
We had urgency in this team a few years ago with Trey.
Al Horford did it. Al Horford did it.
Yeah.
Al was nobody to mess around with, you know. You know, you've got to have that kind of presence on the team. And right now they don't. So, you're right. I mean, I agree with you. Abel? Oh, yeah, he's gone? Ah, I agree with Abel. Yeah, Abel's right. They need somebody to, and it could come at any level in the organization. This is why I just talked to you about the fact that I get frustrated with the wrestlers, that they're not, Tony Russler's not out there. I would have been, as an owner, if I owned the franchise, I'm not Tony Russler. Look, the man's a billionaire. He knows more about stuff than I do, okay? But I would have been in front, I would have been down outside that locker room yesterday after that 23-point loss and standing in front of the microphone saying, this is not acceptable. I feel your pain. We're going to fix this. I would have been front and center. I wouldn't have been able to give you details, but I said, I'm not going to accept this as an owner. These fans paid money for that. Yeah, and then I would have been in the locker room, and I would have been raising high holy hell. I'll get rid of everybody on this team. I'll just dump all of y'all. I'll get rid of every last one of you, every coach, every player. This is not acceptable. I'm not going to take this. And if you think I'm kidding, well, watch what happens in the next 10 days, and I walk out of the room. That's what I would do. That's what I would do. That's me. But that's me. Big Joe. Hey, Big Joe, welcome to the show.
Hey, John, thank you so much. Two quick things. I don't want to take up too much time. First off, John, you're my favorite voice on 92.9. I enjoy your spin on professional sports in general, so it's always a pleasure when I hear you on the radio.
Thank you,
Joe. The beginning of last baseball season, you and I kind of got into it on the air about my beloved New York Yankees, and I think he gave me like a ninth best team in the league, and of course we made it to the World Series, and that's my John Frick story first. So anytime I hear your name or see a grace anywhere, I always remember my Yankees made it to the World Series, even though John told me we sucked. Real quick, John, I think the regards to the Falcons, I think what we're dealing with, and maybe it's an outdated opinion or an
Joe, interest, hang on to that thought. I didn't realize I looked at the clock here that I've got to take a break.
Right.
Sorry about that, Joe.
I'm
hang on. All right, quick break, Joe, who's a fan of the Yankees. He thinks I'm going to say nice things about the Yankees. That's cute, Joe. That's cute. Quick break, and Joe will have a chance to give his Falcons thought here in a moment on Sports Radio 99 The Game. Yeah, if you're not moving when you hear this, there's something wrong with you. Sports Radio 99 The Game from the Northern Kia Studios. John Frigge with you on a Sunday morning. Joe is with us. Joe is a Yankees fan. He wants to weigh in on the Falcons. This ought to be interesting. Joe, are you a Falcons fan, or are you just weighing in on our team?
Boy, That's a great
okay,
question.
Okay, I got my
John.
Answer. That's it. Okay. I got my answer. So what?
Shout out to the Parliament Funkadelic reference in the beginning.
Yeah,
John, my take might be controversial, and my take might be outdated, but I'm just going to lay it out like this and get it off my chest. At a cellular level, the Falcons organization and team, athletes and offices never recovered from Tom Brady. We have not recovered from that Super Bowl decimation, Super Bowl 51.
All right, so let me ask you this. Let me ask you a question. You say you never recovered from 28-3. What did they do the year after 28-3?
We never recovered from a cellular level, meaning that our salary cap adjustment has never fixed itself.
What did they do the year after 28-3?
We're not the same team.
You mean the team that almost went right back to the Super Bowl?
Almost. How good is almost?
Well, it's damn well better than you act like they went 2-16. I mean, they went right back to the
18
they
over
had
the
Philadelphia
next
beat. They had Philadelphia beat the next year in the playoffs, right? Mm-hmm. They had Philadelphia in the division.
Matt Ryan never looked the same. Matt Ryan was never the same statistically. Our front office was never the same, and the salary cap adjustment was never fixed. And the Falcons
you could track some of it to Arthur Blank made one mistake that he has admitted publicly, okay, when he talked about Julio Jones and Matt Ryan and Grady Jarrett and said Falcons for life. That was a mistake, and he knows it. He interjected himself, and he made a mistake in that regard.
On that date in 2017, Tom Brady assassinated the Atlanta Falcons. And we have not woken up.
They went right back to it, Joe. I mean, what happened to the Pittsburgh Steelers? You know, the Pittsburgh Steelers, what happened to the Dallas Cowboys? You know, every NFC team, every single NFC team, everyone has been to the NFC Championship game.
That's
since
the beauty
Dallas
of the
Cowboys
salary cap,
went.
John. That's
okay.
The beauty
oh,
of
so
the
it's
salary
the beauty
cap.
Of the salary cap when it's everybody else, but it's the Falcons being assassinated when it's the Falcons. Okay, I just wanted to establish that. All right, so let's talk about that. Let's talk about the Pittsburgh Steelers. You know what? The Pittsburgh Steelers, their last win, they got assassinated by Tom Brady because they have won a playoff game. Then they go to the AFC title game right before 28-3. Right, the Falcons go off. They beat the Packers and they go off to the Super Bowl. Patriots play the Steelers, and Tom Brady assassinates the Steelers. The Steelers' last playoff win was the game before that. The Falcons at least went back to the divisional round, won playoff games. Since then, they got assassinated by Tom Brady and won playoff games. The Steelers got assassinated by Tom Brady and have not won a playoff game since.
There's not a single office in our organization that's recovered since Tom Brady.
Okay, I appreciate
that's
it,
my blanket
next
statement.
I got it. You know, you're a Patriots fan. Okay.
Now, John, why is it Tom Brady and we couldn't find an offensive coordinator?
You know, I mean, look, I give Brady all the credit in the world. He is the gold standard of quarterbacks. What is that? Is that what he wants? But don't come here and yell at me, Noel, or not yell at me. Joe wasn't yelling. But don't come here and try and say to me that Tom Brady assassinated the Falcons and as opposed to what? You know, I just gave you two great examples. As opposed to what? Did he assassinate the Pittsburgh Steelers? The Steelers have not. Do you know the Steelers have not won a playoff game since they lost to Tom Brady in the game before 28-3?
Yep, but people forget about that part because they focus on the fact that we never got back to the Super Bowl. We've been out of the playoffs for 7 years, which is true. But
which
the
is
Steelers
true.
Have not gotten over that playoff hump since Brady. We went back to the playoffs and, to your point, almost made the NFC Championship game if – you know, Sanu, if you know, they catch that ball and it doesn't bounce off of Neil's knee. So it's
right.
Not I'm not willing to hang all of that on Tom Brady. Like it's too
yeah,
much.
I'm not hanging it all on Tom Brady either. I mean, Tom Brady did what Tom Brady did, and he's, you know, this is why he's the GOAT, and went to Tampa and won again, and he was our thorn in our side down there. Hey, listen, I give all credit, but there's okay. You could tip your hat to Tom Brady without having to try to, you know, we have our own issues here. No question. Ain't nobody anything that we don't have our own issues.
That we have our own issues, and there were.
But so do other franchises.
Exactly, and there were plenty of them.
The Falcons have won more playoff games since 28-3 than the Pittsburgh Steelers. Does anybody realize that?
No, people do not
realize
that.
How many of the Falcons?
That.
Yeah. How many of the Falcons won? One. How many of the Steelers won?
Zero.
By the way, every team in the NFC has gone, every single team in the NFC, now that the Commanders are in the NFC Championship game, and of course last year the Lions went, every single team in the NFC has been to the NFC Championship game since the Cowboys were last in the NFC Championship game, and the Cowboys were last in the NFC Championship game in 1996.
Yep. Which means we've been there twice.
30 years. And the Falcons have been there twice. And should have been there three times. But that's a different story.
Yeah, 22.
Almost made three Super Bowls since 1999. But in the NFC Championship game, everybody talks about 28-3. They don't talk about 17-0. Colin Kaepernick. Because they would have gone against the Ravens and they would have beaten Joe Flacco. I'm sorry, they just would have. You know, but that's a different story. So, you know, revisionist history here always strikes me as being, because it's like, one of the things that drives me crazy as a sports fan, Noel, is when somebody will say, and I saw one the other day, it was about how the SEC is defending itself, the fact the Big Ten has won the last two national titles. But over the last 20 years, the SEC has dominated the game, which, by the way, no argument. How many different schools have won titles, right? No argument. Auburn, LSU, you know, Florida, Georgia, Alabama, no argument. You got no argument for me, okay? But it's interesting to me that you only pick a certain period of time. Over the last 20 years. Well, what about over the last 30? What about over the last 40? What about over the last 50? Has the SEC dominated over the last 50? No. Well, but John, that was so long ago that it doesn't matter. Oh, but 20 does matter. Okay. They pick and choose. People take, that's why there's lies, damned lies, and statistics. Because people choose to focus in on one particular area. And they say, well, in this one area, we dominate. And timelines are one area where people can pick and choose. Like, for example, I could say to you, the Big Ten has totally dominated college football over the last 2 years. And you can't argue that, because they have. And over the last 2 years, they have been the big walking, talking. And SEC fans get all mad about that. Well, yeah, but if you take it out to 20 years, we've dominated. Okay. Take it out to 50, have you dominated? Yes. No. No, you actually haven't. No, you haven't dominated the way you think you have. Okay? How do you know that? Well, because I'm a Nebraska fan, and we have five national titles that have happened in the last 50-some years, including four of those over SEC teams, of which none of them were really close. We beat Alabama. We beat LSU. We beat Florida. Beat Peyton Manning in Tennessee in national title games. So don't talk to me. Well, that happened so long ago. I know, but it was in my lifetime. You pick and choose whatever number you want to use. Has the SEC over the last 10 or 20 years been the – of course they have. Are they still the number one league? Yes. But quit picking and choosing your, you know, stats to back up your assumptions and assertions here. Because that's what people do. They go, okay, I've got an assumption and assertion. What validates my assumption? All right, let me pick a stat that validates my assumption. So I'm going to go back. Why 20? Why don't I just pick like 7? Okay, over the last 7 years, you know, over the last 6 years and 2 months. Just to pick something. I mean, it's, what validates my assumption? You know, so again, SEC fans and Big Ten fans are yakking at each other because the Big Ten's standing on top of the mountain with back-to-back champs. I get it. And they have every right to crow. They are back-to-back champions. Sorry, SEC, it's true. And when Georgia was back-to-back champions, they individually can crow. And when the Big Ten wins back-to-back titles, they as a league can crow. It's fine. Let them crow. But what you're missing is the bigger picture, which is that the SEC and the Big Ten hate each other, right? I mean, they don't like each other. And fans in those two leagues are going to have to get over that, because the SEC and the Big Ten are intertwined. They are intertwined. They are meeting again because, guys, I have bad news if you're an SEC fan who hates the Big Ten, if you're a Big Ten fan who hates the SEC. Those two leagues are about to merge. And it's those two leagues that dominate the game. I'll explain to you why and what's about to happen. I'll let Ross Dellinger of Yahoo tell you everything I've been trying to tell you. I'll tell you what's going to happen next on this Sunday morning with John Fricke on Sports Radio 90 Time the Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game from the Northern Kia Studios on a Sunday morning. Again, NFL doubleheader today. Our coverage begins at 2 o'clock this afternoon. Commanders and Eagles, followed by the Bills and Chiefs. Winners go off to the Super Bowl in the Swamp. Those of us in my business all have what I refer to as long suits, okay? All of us are pretty well-schooled in multiple, you know, across-the-board sports. We can, I could talk about baseball and football and hockey and basketball, and, you know, I could talk about a lot of sports. You know, I've been around a while and seen a lot of things here in town, and I could talk about the teams and the franchises, but we all have a long suit. It's usually based on what your favorite sport is, okay? And so you really put a lot of your attention into that sport. People I've worked with, and I'm name dropping, but it's just to make a point here. I would never argue with people that I have been hosts with, like on what it's like to play NFL football, because I didn't play NFL football, but I've hosted with for extended periods of time radio shows with Hugh Douglas, obviously, you know that, with Sean Salisbury, Billy Ray Smith, Michael Irvin, a number of NFL players. So I would never pretend to know what it's like to be an NFL player, and because I know what it's like. I mean, you can see it. I played in high school. That was it. But they know, they had the inside knowledge. They lived it, okay? And then I would not pretend to argue baseball with Grant McCauley. I mean, I know the Braves really well. I've been following the Braves for 50-some-odd years and intimately following them and heavily following them, but he still knows more about the team right now. He's closer to it than I am. You know, same with talking soccer with Jason Longshore. And I followed soccer back to the Atlanta Chiefs, Dan Wood and Webster Lechaba. And, I mean, I'll name names that you can go, who's Keith Furphy? All right, okay, I know. Who's Jeff Bourne? Okay, I know. But when it comes to sports, we all have a long suit. When I worked at CNN, for example, Dan Patrick and Keith Olbermann were baseball guys. You know, that was their number one sport, and they knew baseball better than I did. I mean, I knew it, but they knew it because they were deeper into it. And, Nick Charles, God rest his soul, was, you know, a boxing and horse racing guy, and he knew boxing and horse racing better than anybody I knew because he was deep into it. So I was the college football host at CNN, and I became the college football and basketball host, in addition to doing play-by-play at multiple universities, at Wake Forest and San Diego State and Chattanooga, whatnot. I also was a college football and basketball host at multiple stations and networks, okay, on TV and radio, Fox Sports Net, Fox Sports Radio, CNN, you hear, doing the college show. I mean, and college football is my long suit. So when I tell you this is something that I have been intimately, I mean, I follow the sport intensely, you know, at the highest levels, inside the NCAA conventions, talking to the presidents and Walter Byers at the NCAA offices in Kansas when they were there, and then in Indianapolis. And I've been, so I've followed this. I've covered multiple national title games, multiple Final Fours, on and on and on. I have followed intensely this particular sport because I'm a college, this is my favorite sport. College football is my favorite sport. And college basketball might be my second favorite sport. I love college athletics. So when I tell you that I know a little bit about what I'm talking about, I want you to trust me because my reputation is sort of on the line, and I would never lead you astray anyway. It's not my intention. So when I started first talking about, you know, the expansion of 4 teams to 12 teams, I got pushback from one of the hosts that used to work here on 92.9 The Game. I said, look, it's going to 12 teams. And he said, no, it's not. I said, okay. He says, you don't know what you're talking about. I go, yes, I do know what I'm talking about. I'm telling you it's going to 12 teams. So what and of course it did. It took about 3, 4, 5 years, but it eventually did. I said, I can tell you. And when I talked about the Pac-12 starting to implode, he said, it's not going to implode. And I'm like, okay. And then it imploded. I said, I've tried to tell you. I'm telling you, this is not me making stuff up, okay? So when I tell you, I want you to take my word for it, that we're going to 14-team playoff the year after next, it's because they are. When I tell you the Big Ten and the SEC are going to merge, it's because they are. And so don't take my word for it. Take the word of another college guy, Ross Dellinger of Yahoo. He writes this. Coming up on February 19th, which is a little over 3 weeks from now, athletic directors from the SEC and Big Ten will meet to discuss major issues in college football. Well, what do you know? Of course they've been meeting. They've been meeting, by the way, once publicly, but they've been meeting a lot privately. Topics include future format of the playoffs and governance questions. Governance questions for you Swampers means new rules. This would mark, according to Dellinger, the second. Oh, here you go. This would mark the second time the SEC and Big Ten have hosted a private meeting for themselves to discuss collegiate athletic issues after meeting in Nashville back in October. All right, that's what he says, because that's the public thing, that the private meeting said the second time. Oh no, they've been talking nonstop. Okay, just have to trust me. They've been talking nonstop. Now, getting together in a room, maybe a second time, but they've been on the phone with each other. They've been emailing each other. They've been having conversations and conference calls. Trust me, they've been talking nonstop, because the only way forward here in this wild west of the college athletics is for the SEC and the Big Ten to merge and take over. Okay, that's the only way forward. Dellinger continues. This meeting between the two in Nashville that's coming up comes a week ahead of the official meeting of the College Football Playoff Commissioners in Dallas, because they're going to meet in Dallas in February. One idea, Dellinger says, appears to be an interest in expanding, the College Football Playoff in the future to a projected 14 teams. That's going to happen, I'm telling you. That bracket would potentially feature automatic bids for the SEC and the Big Ten, giving the Big 12 and ACC two bids, three each for the SEC and Big Ten, one for a group of five school, and one at-large selection. College Football Playoff Executive Director Rich Clark hinted decision makers have not ruled out making changes to the format in 2026 and beyond. Any such changes no longer require a unanimous vote. The SEC and Big Ten would have majority control over the process, a privilege they won during previous contract negotiations. There won't be likely any major changes to the playoffs till next season, as the College Football Playoff is still working under the current contract, but that deal expires after next season, and that's when things get interesting. That's Ross Dellinger on Yahoo. I will go back and explain exactly what he said here, because this is exactly what I've been telling you. After this year, he says, any such changes will no longer require a unanimous vote. This year, the 10 commissioners, the 10 leagues, the group of five, and Notre Dame and all those commissioners, all 11 of them, have to agree to any changes this year to the playoff, have to be unanimous. So all of you who want changes coming up, if you didn't like what you saw last year, we need to reseed or whatever, we need to do that for this year. That's not going to happen. Okay, I'm telling you right now, it will not happen. And the reason it won't happen is because it requires a unanimous vote. Do you think the commissioner of the Sun Belt or the commissioner of the Mountain West is going to go, sure, we'll give up our chance at a bye just for the betterment of the playoff? No, there's no chance of that. So you're not going to get any changes. But then he goes on and says, after that, after 2025, after this year, the SEC and Big Ten will have majority control over the process, a privilege they won in previous contract negotiations. They didn't win, they strong-armed it, but technically they won. So after this year, the SEC and Big Ten have majority control. Let's dive into this. The SEC and the Big Ten will have majority. No, the SEC and the Big Ten will have total control. This is why they're meeting in Nashville to merge together to form the alliance that will be the basis of Super Conference. And the SEC and the Big Ten will tell everybody else what they're going to do. If you don't like it, then you can go join the NAIA. We don't care. You can go join FCS and play against North Dakota State, Montana State. But we're going to make the rules. Okay? So they're going to make the rules. And they're going to expand the playoff to 14 teams. They're going to give themselves three or even four guaranteed spots. There will be only two byes starting in 2026. And those byes will go to the winners of the SEC and Big Ten championship games. And nobody else. Sucks to be you, ACC. Sorry, you're out. Can't get a bye. Sucks to be you, Big 12. Sorry, you're out. You can't get a bye. Just the SEC and Big Ten can. Well, that's not fair. Of course it's fair. Of course it's fair, because we're not talking about fair. We're talking about the future. We're talking about getting a hold of this. And do you think the ACC has the ability to get a hold of it? They can't even keep their own teams in their league. What are you talking about? They're being sued by Florida State and Clemson. And the other reason Florida State and Clemson haven't lost is because they're in litigation right now, and Jim Phillips, God love him, is hanging on for dear life. They're out there over in the ACC. Did you hear the story about what the ACC is considering doing when we get to 2026 after this year in order to get two spots in the 14-team playoff guaranteed to them? They're talking about the ACC has proposed this. If you didn't hear this, listen to this for a second. The ACC came out and said, look, what if we did this? Our champion, our regular season champion, gets an automatic berth. You know, there's no bye anymore. Remember that. They're out of the bye business. but we get an automatic berth for our champion in the 14-team field. Then our champion will not play in the ACC title game. Our regular season champion will not play in the ACC title game. And the ACC title game will no longer be the ACC title game. It'll now be between the second place and third place teams of the conference, and it will be a play-in game for the playoffs. And the winner of that play-in game between number two and number three in the league also gets an automatic berth. They play their way into the field. So that's the way the ACC says, and it really is a smart idea because it may be the only way that they can convince the SEC and the Big Ten to give them two automatic spots. Because at the moment, the SEC and the Big Ten could just say to them, we get four automatic spots, the Big Ten gets four automatic spots, the SEC gets four automatic spots, and there are six wild cards. And we're not letting anybody get no automatic. And the ACC desperately wants two. So this is the idea they've come up with. We'll dump the ACC title game, say you take our regular season champion as an automatic qualifier, and the winner of this new play-in game in Charlotte between number two and number three also gets in an automatic berth. Now, the SEC and the Big Ten have not signed off on that, and they may not. The SEC and the Big Ten run this. You can hate the Big Ten as an SEC fan. You can hate the SEC as a Big Ten fan, but you two have to understand that the only way college football gets saved is for the SEC and the Big Ten to merge. Okay? It's the only way college football gets saved. We have, if you are saying it's out of control that Cam Ward got $1.5 million last year to play at Miami in an NIL, $1.5 million for Cam Ward, and this year Carson Beck is getting $10 million. Do you really think Carson Beck is worth $10 million and Cam Ward $1.5 million? No, that's just the market going spiraling out of control. And the only way to get a hold of that is to have somebody in charge. And the only way to have somebody in charge is for the SEC and the Big Ten to merge and form a new alliance, super conference, if you want to call it that, we'll just use that term, and they set new rules. Okay, does everybody follow how this has to happen? And that's the only path we have, and that's the path we're headed down. And in my book, it can't happen soon enough. The SEC and the Big Ten have to merge. And I think you're going to come out of the next month, you might hear both Tony Petitti, the commissioner of the Big Ten, and Greg Sankey, the commissioner of the SEC, say they have a working agreement to merge the two leagues. Just stand by for major news, because that's going to happen. The issue, by the way, isn't football. It's the other sports. Hey, I'm trying to figure that out. It's like, what do we do with women's basketball and softball and baseball? How do we handle all this? And in football. Football, they're fine. Football, it's like, yeah, we'll do it. It's how they handle the other sports. All right. My thanks to Noel White and to all of you that called in. Stand by. Doubleheader of NFL starting at 2 o'clock this afternoon. Washington, Philadelphia, followed by Buffalo, Kansas City. Enjoy the games right here on your home of the NFL and Atlanta Sports Radio, 90 Time the Game.